Blog Talk Radio.
These various rappers are so hilarious. We'll put your mic down, but you ain't qualified to carry this. Your tracks are garbage, your bars are miscellaneous. So throwing your joint at my car was spontaneous.
I love bringing that shit right at you, door to door service.
Instantaneous, you would still get your shit bust. Only spontaneous.
All aboard the Spontaneous Express. Nevertheless, always the more. From the pool table to the kitchen floor. Next stop, the G-Spot. Luda!
I bust that nigga ass right now. Ain't no but none of them niggas can't fuck.
What? Nigga, you could never fuck me, my nigga. I'll fuck you up right now. What? Bust your motherfucking ass, boy. Ain't no motherfucking joke. Know who you talking to? Old dirty bastard. You know what I'm saying? I'll fuck you up right now. Yeah. What?
That nigga, yo.
I'm the one man on me, ain't gone. I never been tookin' out. I keep MCs looking out. I drop signs like Crosby dropping babies. Enough to make the niggas go crazy. In the G building, taking all types of medicine. Your ass thought you were better than a son. I keep planets in orbit while I be coming with deeper and more shit. Enough to make you break and shake your ass a lot today. Rhyme good as a tasty cake, mate. Just sound, I'm mastered in. Niggas catching headaches, what? You need aspirin? The type of pain you couldn't even kill with my door. Fuck around, get sprayed with Lysol. In your face like a can of mace, baby. Is this burning with fuck? Now you're learning how. I don't even like your motherfucking profile. Give me my fucking shit. Wow, that's seen and heard. No one knows. You forget. Niggas be quiet as death. Now you know nothing. Before you knew a whole fucking lot. Your ass don't wanna get shot. A lot of MCs came through my showdown. Then watch me put your fucking ass low down. As you can go below zero. Without a doubt, I never been taken out by a nigga who couldn't figure. Yeah, by a nigga who couldn't figure. Yeah, by a nigga who couldn't figure how to pull a fucking gun trigger. Like, get the fuck out of here. Nigga wanna get too close to the utmost. But I got facts that'll attack any whack host. Introducing your fuck that nigga's name. My hip-hop drops on your head like rain. And when it rain, it pours up around hardcore. That's why I give you more of the roar. Tell him that I got for a rock and spot. MCs, I'll be burning, burning hot. Whoa-ho-ho, let me like slow up with the flow. If I move too quick, oh, you just won't know. I'm homicidal when you enter the target. Nigga, get up, act like a pig, try to hug shit. Well, I take your ass out quick, the mic some had it, my nigga. You can suck my dick. If you wanna step to my motherfucking rest. Bow, 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 blown to death. You got shot, cause you knock, knock, knock. Who's there? Another motherfucking hard block. Slacking on your back, cause Raw's what you lack. You wanna react? Bring it on back.
Same with you, when you step up to the old dirty bastard. Brooklyn, shook. Same with you, when you step up to the old dirty bastard. Brooklyn, shook, shook.
It's like 3 into the 2 and 2 into the 1. No, it don't stop, no, it don't stop. It's like 3 into the 2 and 2 into the 1. No, it don't stop, no, it don't stop. It's like 3 into the 2 and 2 into the 1. No, it don't stop, no, it don't stop. It keeps on coming, coming at ya. I got your coat up in this psychedelic rapture. And you can't sleep and you can't eat. All you do is eat, eat, eat. Cause the funk that I freak in your G.
Is it real?
Now you know it don't get real. By taking you to total bliss.
And it don't stop and it don't quit. Serving all them little fools for the non-train like this. It's that that them niggas can't stay away from. I get dumb, diddy diddy dum dum.
Word up.
You study, study, loving what you heard.
Word up.
You're wondering if we falling
it's a shame.
I'm real. Real deal,
homie. So it's up that your pop needs to stop, cause I'm real.
Thank you.
transform. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run around, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody goes. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
Yo, yo, yo. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you start a show right there. That's the energy that we're looking for. Oh my God, I was in here. I was over here partying. I don't know about y'all, but I was partying over here. I don't know. But I must say, we are here again, y'all. We are here again. Hello to everyone out there in internet radio land. We are back for another PLM radio exclusive. That hot mix you just heard. That one where they had you tapping your foot there. I saw it. You were tapping your foot over there. That was from our own PLM brethren, DJ Waheed. Must give a kudos on that mix right there. Thank you, brother. A native New Yorker letting you know what time it is. We are currently bringing you another exciting episode of Ask Andre Dwayne, where he shall take you through the evolution of Andre Dwayne. But before I introduce our talk show host for the evening, I must thank our 20 million plus listeners for tuning in and blazing the emails. So, yes, you've been letting us know. You've been ready. You've been waiting. And I must say, you love us. You really love us. And you know what? We love y'all, too. So, again, thank you all. Thank you all for tuning in. We got a lot for you. All right. Also, we want to continue giving our thoughts and prayers to those affected by the Surfside condo collapse. We understand that the death toll rose to 90. I just learned this. So death toll did raise to 90. So, again, our thoughts and prayers do go out to those families and friends that have been affected about that. However, 217 people are accounted for. Unfortunately, 31 are still accounted for. So they're still trying to find those people. Hopefully they can still find them. But you know how things go. But, again, our prayers go out. I do have a little good news to share. Just a little good news. Binks the cat that survived the collapse has been reunited with the Gonzalez family that lived on the ninth floor of the condo. So I'm pretty sure you've heard throughout the news waves that there was a cat that survived, and that's his name, Binks the cat. Binks the cat. So that's definitely some good news there. Our boss, Miss Spontaneous, has information only on her Instagram if you want to find out how you may help. All right, but speaking of Miss Boss, our boss, Miss Spontaneous, we must give thanks to the one that made this all possible, our boss, Miss Spontaneous, the female artist who was managed by Tupac Shakur. She is also a three-time Hall of Fame inductee, sold over 352 million of movies, and still selling today. She has also received 9 awards of her accomplishments in the entertainment industry, including a Lifetime Achievement Award. Also, our beautiful boss became the valedictorian of her class of 2020 from Full Sail University, and she will become Dr. Spontaneous of Business Administration and Strategic Marketing in 2023, so including a second book that will be released about her life with a manager, Tupac Shakur, authored by Kevin Powell. As you know, this show is being brought to you by Spontaneous Radio Online, the one-stop shop for all of our PLM shows and events. So please stay updated for all upcoming shows and interviews. Now the time has come. I hope you have your drinks in the air for this brother right here. Step into the mic. Bringing you deep thought, wisdom, and life lessons all the way from NYC off the Verrazano Bridge. That's one of my favorite bridges because I'm actually going to bike that route one day. I'm just letting you know. Where Brooklyn is, all the way from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Where is Brooklyn at? Brooklyn's own. Please stand up for your brother, your native son, our PLM brethren. Here's Andre Dwayne. Bring it up, brother. Well. Bring it up, brother. Had to give you some of that right there.
Listen, I thank you always for these powerful introductions. Like, it's like I've been sitting here and I'm listening to these introductions like, okay, how am I going to top this one? How am I going to top this one? I can't. So I won't. I appreciate you so much for that introduction. And I definitely got to give a shout-out to my big sis, Spontaneous, for allowing me to make this happen. Wow, this show today is it's deep. For the first time, I'm really opening up about my life and where I've been. And my only objective is to see who I can help and how I can help them, even if it's just one person. I'm sure it will be way more than that, but, you know, we're going to keep it flowing. I have a good friend of mine. She's also an up-and-coming author herself, Ms. Najma Nico. She's on air with us tonight. That's who you heard with the Shy Giggles in the background.
Okay. Yep.
She's calling out of Spawn's hometown of Philadelphia. So shout out to you, Najma.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me. So, yes, everyone, hello from the streets of Philly. It's your one and only girl, Najma Nico Jones. You may remember me as Sin on previous radio shows in the past. It's me again, that raunchy chick with the invisible dick. I'm here, and we with all of it tonight. I want to expose you and everything on the table. I want you to know Mr. Andre Dwayne the way that I know Mr. Andre Dwayne, because this is something magnificent. So thank you for welcoming me.
Thank you.
All right. That's what's up. I love it.
Yeah.
So what we got on deck? What we got on deck, baby?
I'm trying to see how I just... What's up? What was that?
The whole purpose of tonight is because you're writing a book. This is your first book, right?
My first book, and the first time I'm actually opening up to people. You know how difficult that's been for me to open up to people because of my previous relationship with said family. But, this is my first book. I was a little nervous about releasing it to the world, which is why it took me so long to actually get it into fruition. You know, it's a lot of deep issues. And, you know, I lost my mother at a very young age, and recently I had someone come to me and tell me that they just lost their mother, and, you know, she was going through it. She told me that she locked herself in the house. She's been in the house for months and months and hasn't came out, and she just asked me, how do I deal with it? And the simple answer is just, I don't know. 23 years later, and I still haven't figured out how to deal with the loss of my mother. There's some good days, there's some bad days, there's just days where it's just like I want to give up. And, you know, I know that I'm not going to give up. I have too many accolades for that. And I feel like my story can help other people, you know, growing up with a family that just really shunned me out because of my sexuality. You know, I was always going to be the person that was going to die of AIDS because of my sexuality. So that was a tough pill to swallow. You know, that's actually how I lost my mother. So it's been a dark emotional roller coaster of life. You know, 17 years.
And
old,
how have you been dealing with it? Your book can only shine light on a sliver of what your life has been like. So what is the book? What is the book about?
It's definitely about growing up with families that's always against odds. You know what I mean? Like I said, my mother passed away. She died on Mother's Day of 98. My mother had the AIDS virus. And, you know, every day she was sick, I watched my mother, like, literally just wither away into nothing. And I prayed to God every day that he would just give me the virus and take it away from my mother, because I really watched my mother deteriorate. You know, it was difficult. And when I came out to my family at 17, when I came out to that family at 17, that was the first thing that came out of their mouth, was, you're going to get sick. You're going to die. You're going to get AIDS. That's the gay man's virus. You know, 2 years later, I was actually diagnosed with HIV. I've been living with HIV for 17 years. Not dying, despite contrary to popular belief, what everybody's saying, that I'm dying. Not dying at all. It's difficult. It's difficult to wake up every day and know that I'm living with something that took my mother away from me. I'm still trying to process how that's even possible.
I mean,
like,
such
know,
is life.
He didn't have
I'm proud of you
a fighting
for...
chance. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, no, I'm very proud of you because that's something personal and intimate, and I wasn't expecting that. So you got one on me, but that's very bold and very honorable to be able to literally live your life out on your sleeve and be an open book before your book ever drops. So,
right. But see,
the title
I
of
wasn't
your book
always
is
like
the
that.
What?
I
know, that's what I'm
getting
right to. The evolution. So when most things evolve, it starts off as one thing and it metamorphosizes and it turns into something totally different. So from the beginning of you writing your book till now, the evolving of Andre Dwayne, like what darkness have you actually encountered? Like has it been an easy road?
No, absolutely not. It's definitely not an easy road because that was just a fraction of some of the things I went through. You know, I had a tumultuous relationship with my sister, and, you know, it's just me and her. But that relationship came about from family trying to tear us apart. They've been trying to separate us from the time my mother closed my eyes. We were just cash cows to them. You know, we were just checks, paychecks. You know, they treated my sister like shit. They treated me like shit. But they treated my sister a little bit better than me. You know what I mean? And once the money stopped flowing, people, you know, really show their true colors. And it's just been a back and forth with that. There's so many outside forces trying to tear me and my sister's relationship apart. I'm not going to lie to you. It worked at one point. At one point, I was done with her. I washed my hands of her. And I can't do that. I have two nephews now, you know, her little Kai and little Izzy. And it's just like, wow.
Well, sometimes
I can't believe that a family would do something like that. You know what I mean? It's like they praise my mother all the time. They praise my mother all the time and then, you know, turn around and treat her kids like shit in the same breath, knowing that we don't have nobody but each other.
Family will disregard you, disrespect you, and mistreat you faster than a stranger on the street would. It's sad,
well,
but it's true.
It's
true.
It's definitely something I've learned the hard way. So, yeah, so when I say the evolution of Andre Dwayne, I simply evolved from the victim role. I don't look at myself as a victim anymore. I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. I'm strong. And, you know, that was one of the last things my mother said to me was to be strong and to take care of your sister. And, you know, I really wish she'd have left the sister part out of it because that little girl there gave me hell for the past 23 years, but I love her dearly.
And that's one thing I definitely want to ask you about, because that last point is very powerful, is that you didn't want to be the victim anymore, right? So to those that still feel that way, you know, they still feel that they are a victim, but they want to push through that. So it's almost like you want to change that name tag. You know, it's like, I don't want to be the victim anymore, but I don't know how to not become that. So what would you tell those
that have been through traumatic support system?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about your support system. Don't even have a short answer to that. You got to have the right people around you. You got to, like, really clean house and see who's there for you and who's not there for you. And where I came into a problem was I kept trying to hold on to a family that just didn't give a fuck. So I was, like, in a sense, you know, pushing myself further down the rabbit hole of being a victim. You got to let that go.
When did you realize it?
I realized it. I started to realize it a lot more so, like, my graduation, when I graduated with my bachelor's 2 years ago, and nobody showed up. So it was just like, And then when they did show up for my celebratory moment afterwards, it was they came to my house and showed out. It wasn't a show up, it was a show out. Like, it was back. It was in here wilding out, breaking shit, making a bunch of noise, about to get me evicted out of my brand new apartment. And it was supposed to be a joyous moment, and it just definitely didn't turn into that. You know what I mean? And then I get attacked because of my sexuality, but there are said people that's sleeping with their biological daughters and stepdaughters and things of that nature, and it's overlooked, and they're pushing it to where it's the victim's fault. And I don't understand that one. That one there, it just really put me for a loop, which is why I went through that whole, I'm getting rid of this last name. Like, I can't, I don't want to carry a last name to a family like that. I know what my mother named me, and I will go by that, and I will live by that. My mother named me Andre DeWayne, and the last name came by default.
Listen, that sounds like a lot of strength. That can't be easy to walk away from all of what you know and to create
a whole different
dynamic for yourself.
It's not easy, which is why it took me. I've been writing this book for 5 years. 5 years. I've been writing this book, and it's just like I'll get to certain points, and I'll stop because I couldn't handle it. I didn't know who I could talk to. I didn't have, like, people I can open up to as like an emotional outlet when I was ever throwing it right back in my face. Oh, remember that time I did this for you, or I told you so, or this and that. And it's just like, how do you tell a victim that? You know what I mean? How do you tell somebody that's going through abuse and going through the mental breakdowns? I mean, this is also coming from the same family that's been molesting me since I was 8 years old. So that's another thing that I'm living with on my shoulders. Yes, I've came to terms with who I am and what my sexuality is, but that always gets in the way when I date people. When it comes down to, like, intimacy with people I'm dating, I have flashbacks of me being molested as a child, and that's triggering.
What do you do for your self-care to rebuild after that? When you decide, that's it, I'm no longer a victim, I survived this, it's time for me to reclaim my life. How do you muster the strength to take that first step?
I didn't have that strength. Well, let me not say I didn't have that strength. I didn't realize that strength until COVID. Being locked in the house alone, I spent the entire quarantine alone. Well, with my dog. My dog's looking at me like, excuse me. I spent the entire quarantine in the house. And all I had time was to face myself and face the issues that I've been running away from. Like, you know, I've let these issues get the best of me several times. I've contemplated suicide. I've attempted suicide. It wasn't successful. The universe is not playing that. So that's not a road that I will walk down again. It's definitely not a road that I will walk down again. I mean, like, it wasn't easy. I dropped out of college 7 times. And look at me now with 2 degrees, you know. 2 degrees and a certification from Harvard, might I add. But it wasn't an easy road. I had to deal with that. I had to deal with sitting at Christmas with, you can say, a bunch of strangers, because that's exactly what I felt like every time I was around her. It was like, I'm sitting here. I know we're family, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels so uncomfortable. And, you know, being around people like that, they're just so uncomfortable. How do you talk to them on problems like that? Which is why I said that when I found out I was positive, I was going to take that to my deathbed, and I did. 6 years ago, I almost lost my life. It was bad. I caught the flu and pneumonia. You know, I was in the hospital for months. I couldn't walk. They pushed me into a nursing home and told me there was nothing they can do for me. They woke me up.
Wow.
That was 6 years ago.
And you had to endure that.
I didn't have to support them.
Yeah.
I mean, they even came up to the hospital with daggers and smart remarks. Like, I'm literally laying here in the fucking hospital bed with IVs and things hooked up to me, and they still came in with all of this negative stuff. Like, I told you about that kiss and stuff with these boys and stuff like that. It's just like, I'm on my deathbed. I even prayed to God to take me dead. I didn't want to survive then. But for whatever reason, I'm still here. And I feel like maybe I'm still here because I need to tell my story. So that's how I started looking at it, and that's what helped me push through to keep writing this book.
That's your purpose. That's your purpose, because I can only imagine what your mindset was then, and I'm pretty sure you just mentioned it, to be on your deathbed and, you know, to have that going through you, and you're thinking like, oh, my God, like, what is going on? So there's a purpose. There's a purpose there where you went through that. And it's almost like, okay, let me walk down this path first, and then I can let you know what the twists and turns are. You know, so for you to come out of that and be like, oh, yeah, like, you got to tell the story, bro. You got to tell the story.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? FX, even after coming out of that, to look around and see I didn't have the support from my family and still had all of that going on, I still didn't feel like I was worthy of life. And I felt like that all the way, even after I graduated with my bachelor's degree and nobody showed up to my graduation, I felt like that. I felt like, why am I doing this? But I still pushed myself to go back for my master's degree.
Right.
I still pushed myself to go back to that. And then working through the master's and looking around and just looking back at my life, it was just like, it's time for me to make a change. And, you know, I was so happy to see I was graduating, you know, I bought my tickets to go to graduation, and then COVID happened. And then the depression started all over again. Everything just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm sitting here, I'm watching a graduation, I'm crying, snotting boogers, looking at my name on TV, and then find out I'm a salutatorian. So it's just like, wow, I graduated with accolades, and my phone, it rung. I got congratulations from a certain amount of people. You know, Spawn definitely was one of them. We were in separate classes. I wish we were together, but we were in separate classes. You know, she went back for business, and I decided to go with the creative writing outlet because writing has always been my passion, and it's just like I've had all these passions just sitting there, you know, boiling over and dying to break out, and I just never entertained my passions because I didn't know how. I didn't feel like, you know, if I write something, nobody's going to support it. I always feel like, you know, nobody's going to support it. So when people, like, I just got a DM from a friend, and I was like, wow, thank you for supporting me. And she's like, I'm always going to support you. And it really makes me feel good to hear that because I'm not used to that. I'm not used to the support.
Well, for me, I was just saying that sometimes, like, when it comes to family, sometimes you got to say, fuck family. Just because they're your blood don't necessarily make them family.
Well, let's rephrase that, because PLM is not my family, and I will never say
there
fuck
you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Family thing.
Okay.
Well,
then
you must have read my text then.
Yeah,
you must have read my text there, because that's the thing. It's like, yep, that PLM is your family. We got you always. So that is from your big sis. So yeah, so you knew it. That was stars in alignment right there. So that's why I say you must have read my phone. So yeah, just want to let you know that you got family, bro, and that's good, because again, sometimes, and this is all, and for some reason it's kind of funny in this way, is sometimes you'll get help and love from a stranger, sometimes long before people that you've known for years. You know, like you'll be like, oh, you were great, you were this, you were awesome, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you don't even know them from a can of paint. You know, and you're sitting there thinking like, okay, why can't my own family or like my close friends, you know, say that to me, you know, because sometimes you got those that'll be around, you know, because one song that comes to mind is about Tony, If I Had No Loop. You know how that story goes. So it's like, you know.
Older than I look. I know a lot of songs.
Right. Oh, trust me, the mix that was out there, but man, that mix took me back to the 90s. I was like, with middle school, high school, so I'm kind of telling my age. So, but anyway.
I purposely asked why he for that mix. More than the sound,
right?
Because the 90s is just right. Like, bring me back. Bring me back to happy times.
Yeah.
I had my mother in the 90s.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, the 90s is always going to be my favorite past time. That makes sense.
A
remembrance of Coney Island, going to Coney Island, taking road trips back and forth to New York. I mean, because once upon a time, I did live in Philly.
Oh, man, I need to go back for some hot dogs, man.
Philly,
see, now you're making me hungry. Oof. Yeah.
The pizza is a thing in New York. Hot dogs. Oh, well, Coney Island, yeah. Nathan's,
yeah, trust me,
there.
I know.
I don't think they're going to get rid of that. They better not get rid of that.
They better not, because this D.C. brother right here will actually revolt if that actually happens. Because trust me, sometimes I've actually made just a personal trip to New York just to get pizza, but that's a long story. But anyway.
We're not going to say who's about to come to New York for some ice cream, because I told her it's in stock in my supermarket.
Yes,
she can't find it.
Yes, I was. Yes, I will. But don't feel bad. I used to drive every day for 9 months straight from the Poconos in Pennsylvania to Brooklyn to a certain restaurant just for oxtail peas and rice. 2.5 hours there, 2.5 hours back. And it was worth it. And I'll do it again, damn it.
Well, listen here. So we'll have a different conversation about those oxtails. You gonna drive here for oxtails? You want to come and buy?
My child is named after that restaurant. Okay. You got real. What is your favorite year of the 90s? Can you think back to the 90s and think of your favorite year?
I don't know. Maybe 96. Christmas of 96 was my favorite year. So I would say 96. Until that damn blizzard happened. Blizzard of 96 was like the worst because, you know, that was buried in snow. That's what cold
I remember.
My hatred of snow. that's what developed my hatred of snow. I mean, snow is beautiful to look at, but just don't throw it at me. It's going to be a problem.
I think my favorite year was 98. Like, everything about the year 98 was perfect to me. I think I was, I don't want to say what grade I was going into. I'm really telling my age, but the music, the fashion, everything was perfect right then and there. And that was the first time that I personally, like, I felt like I had an idea of who I was. Because things started to make sense. That's why I asked. Because everybody say, oh, the 90s music is so nostalgic. But I know when I hear certain songs or I even see certain movies from that era, it kind of takes me back to a place. And that's really my happy place. Like, 98 would be that year for me.
Yeah, 98 is definitely not my happy year at all. For the furthest from my happy year.
Understandable.
I would have to give it to what happened to me was in 96. My mother was alive and well then, you know, with happy times.
Mm-hmm.
We had Old Dirty Bastard playing in the house. We listened to Shirley Caesar and Gospel, you know, on days like she felt like it. You know, that was the one for the blue moon thing. I mean, my mother believed in God and everything, but she had her moments where, you know, and I think it was more so like the relationship with my stepmother that really did that as well, you know. But 96, it would have to be 96 because the other years of the 90s were just like, you know, my sister died in 95. My grandmother, my sister passed away at the end of, the beginning of 95, and my grandmother was murdered at the end of 95, my grandmother was murdered. So, it just wasn't 95 wasn't good, and neither was 98. Those years were just not good years.
How was it as a child dealing with so much trauma and death?
Well, the first two deaths.
And your mom not being there.
The first two deaths my mother was there for. You know, the last death I dealt with, and I can't even say that I dealt with it, was my mother's death. That was the last funeral I went to. That's the last funeral that I'm going to. I don't care who dies. I'm not going. I'm already making arrangements for me not to have a funeral. I don't want a funeral. I just want to be buried with my mother. That's the only thing I want. I don't want a funeral. I don't want a memorial service. I don't want people fake and phony crying over my body because of how much they really care for me. That's just not something I'm interested in at all. I don't like funerals. I just feel like they're sad. Like, you know. My mother wasn't a sad person. My mother was me. If anybody that knows me knows I'm not a sad person. And I think that's what it is, too. Like, you know, cracking jokes and laughing at stuff and hiding behind that mask. And after a while, that mask got heavy. You know, it was suffocating me. And it was just like, how long am I going to keep pushing this off? I never processed my mother's death. That was another thing that I processed during COVID. I went to counseling. I'm not ashamed of saying I went and I got help. Sometimes you got to go get professional help, especially if the help that you're getting from so-called friends and family is not resonating with you. That means that you got to go and get some professional help, get some outside sources on that. You know, I've had nights where I was crying, not in boogers, and Spawn spent 3 hours on the phone with me, getting me back to my senses. You know what I mean? I even called her a few weeks ago and told her, I don't even know if I can do the show. I can't do this. It's too much. It's too much. I was in the midst of writing a certain chapter of the book, and it was just like, this is too much. I can't do this. How am I going to get on air and open up to these people and tell people about this if I can't deal with it myself? And that was another reason why it's just taking me so long to put the book out. The book is done. It's done, but I'm still reading over it to make sure that it's right, because it's just like there are still things in the book that I haven't healed from, and I need to heal from those things so I can sit and talk about it comfortably. Mainly the sexual abuse. It wasn't just one person that sexually abused me. I was sexually abused by four different men. I've tried to say something before, but of course nobody believes what I say. You know, oh, you're lying. You always like to lie about something. The rumor got out about me writing a book about this, and I'm already getting threats from somebody that I don't give a fuck about.
Andre, can I ask you a question?
Of course you can ask me a question.
Now, you just explained to us how, you know, you were molested by four different male individuals in your life. Do you or have you ever felt as if that had any play on your sexuality, your choice in sexuality, by being molested by
I've always had an attraction to the same sex. I just didn't know how to process it, and I was always thought that it was wrong. So I won't say that those sexual abuses had anything to do with it, because it confused the fuck out of me, because one of my attackers I actually loved. I was a confused kid. I loved this person. I thought that this person was doing it out of love because we were family. So that way it was confusing.
When you say family, do you say in a literal sense, or do you say family like a person that you just knew, or y'all
family.
Were raised like family?
Family.
Like
it was actually family. Actual family. Actual family. I think I named him Cousin Mookie in the book. So, yeah. I mean, some of the names I had to change around in the book, like some of my attackers, and you know, I've had people question me, like, why are you changing the name of the attackers? Some of these attackers have children, and I care about the best interests of the children. You know what I mean? Like, to see your parent's name plastered in a book like that, or out to the world like that, it's now I'm creating something tumultuous for a whole other individual that had nothing to do with it. There wasn't even a thought when this was happening, and it's not fair to them. That's the only reason why certain people got name changes. I think the disclaimer at the beginning is there are name changes to protect the innocent and the crazy.
But don't
crazy,
do you feel as if feel as if heighten their identity? It, like, what if there's other victims after you? There's been other victims after you, and you felt the courage to speak up and speak out in whichever manner, but what if that other relative, they need some type of inkling, like there is some light on the other side.
In that sense, the way I wrote it, even with the name change, relatives who read the book will know exactly who I'm talking about. This is for the outside world that don't know the family.
Okay.
It's more so in that sense. But the way it's written, people know who I'm talking about. Well, people that know me, if you know me, then you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Now, how does that play? Have you thought about how that plays out in the future? Like, I'm reading this book, I know who it is. Like, you know it's going to be some type of scared craziness after it.
Definitely.
Are you ready?
It definitely is. Am I ready? No, I'm not ready. But, I mean, I got to get ready. I got to get ready because it is what it is. I already know that there's going to be backlash. You know what I mean? I'm already getting threats. That, you know, Mookie is already sending threats. Not that I'm scared of Mookie, but he's already sending threats. There's going to be threats.
Wow.
There may be applications, but I'm going to say it like I say it on every one of my shows and in person. If you run up on me, I'm going to give you what you're looking for. It's like I've been holding on to this for so long, and I'm tired of holding on to it. I want to get on with my life now. I'm tired of playing the victim role, and that's what I've evolved from. I'm tired of sitting here crying and feeling like I'm not worthy of, and you know, the people are going to keep tearing me down. People will tear you down if you allow them to. I stop allowing people to tear me down. Now I'm being pretended that it's this mean person. I'm not a mean person. It's just I see bullshit, I'm going to pull bullshit out, and that's it. That's it, because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being the victim. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I never ask for anybody to feel sorry for me. I don't want to be tagged as the victim. And I can't, like, you know, sit there and keep saying that when there are actual victims out there who don't know how to process that emotion from not being the victim mm-hmm. anymore. You just simply need right. the right support team. That's the only thing that's going to fix that. You can't fix it by yourself. I've tried.
Mm.
Because when you're trying to fix this pain on your own, or you're just masking mm-hmm. it to make it feel better, you're not actually digging in and dealing with the root of the problem. And that's what I did for so long. I kept masking it. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. It's not going to stop the blood. It'll slow it down, but it's not going to stop it.
Let me ask you this. In the book, what would you say is probably the hardest chapter that you had to write? What chapter was it?
My mother's chapter. The chapter is entitled Mother's Day, because it was me actually telling the story of like how I was at home. Every year for Mother's Day, I would make my mother Mother's Day cards from scratch. I would go out, and I would always get yelled at for doing this, but I would do it anyway. I would go out, and I would steal like flowers and things like that was planted at other people's houses, the neighbors' trees, and stuff like that, and steal them and save a whole bunch of them to the Mother's Day card. And on this particular day, I remember waking up. I spent the night with, I guess he would be my step cousin. It was my stepfather's nephew. I spent the night at his house because it was around the corner from the hospital. My mother was staying there, right around the corner from Temple University. And I was there, and I got up. It was raining, but I still went out and found some flowers. I think I picked the little pink flowers off the tree. I can never remember the name of the tree, but I'm sure you know the tree I'm talking about, the tree that grows the little pink flowers. I can't remember the name.
Cherry blossom.
I went out. I picked the flowers out.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. I went out, picked the flowers, let them dry off, and I'm sitting there, and the day is just going by, and my stepfather never showed up to come get me. And I'm like, you know, it got dark outside, still no stepfather. Eventually, his best friend showed up. And, you know, I've gotten a car, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to the hospital. I'm excited. And he's driving past Temple, and we're starting to go to my house. And he starts talking to me about college. I'm 12 years old. What the fuck is college? You know what I mean? And I knew something was wrong. And when I got home, I found out my mother passed. And that was hard. I was in disbelief. I went to school the next day. And that's why that chapter is so hard for me. It's just like, when I went to school, I remember standing up, and everybody was going around the class. The teacher was asking everybody, how was their Mother's Day? What did you do for your mother? And things like that. And when it was my turn, I stood up and said, my mother died. And that there.
Oh, that touched my heart.
Wow. Lord. Wow. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. That's something that I
live
over and over every day. And it plays so fresh, like it just happened yesterday, and it stings. But I saw people ask me, how did you cope 23 years later with your mother's death? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. It's not something that you can get over. Not when it just plays over and over vividly in my mind as if it just happened. 23 years ago, she died right before my 13th birthday, and I remember, like, every time I go to Six Flags now, because that was our pact. She said, you know, when you turn 13, I'll take you to Six Flags, and we'll do the bungee jump thing. I've done it 4 times already. I've done it 4 times already, but that it plays over and over. Like now, my birthday's coming up again, and this is another birthday I got to spend without my mother. I'll be 36 next Monday.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. I've had family members tell me to just get over it. How do you get over something like that?
You don't. And I
you can't.
I think it's a selfish expectation to want someone to just get over a loss with that type of
connection, unrealistic. My baby sister and my grandmother and then my mother, they all died back to back. These are three deaths that I remember vividly. These are three people that died that really understood me and didn't judge me. My mother wasn't judgmental. My mother asked me when I think I was about 9 or 10 years old if I was gay. And I told her I didn't know. And she told me, it's okay. I love you regardless. I love you forever. That doesn't bother me. She was asking me then. I didn't know. I had an idea, but I wasn't for certain.
But let me ask you.
The sexual abuse started when she was alive, and I couldn't tell her. I told her there was a teacher in the gym, in the school, that asked to see my penis when I was in the gym. It was a female teacher. Don't ask me why the female teacher was in the boys' locker room. And I went and I told my mother, and my mother went ape shit. She tried to kill that baby. So when it happened with family, it's like, I didn't want to put my mother through that again. And I knew she was sick. But also in the back of my mind, I knew that if I probably told her this, I wouldn't be able to go to New York no more. I wouldn't be able to see the cousins and the family members that I actually did like.
Wow. But let me ask you this. After the completion of this book, now would there be works of others? Like, would there be like Evolution 2, Evolution 3? Like, you know,
I don't. It may be. Maybe I'm not gonna say that I won't do any more evolution, but there'll definitely be more books.
Oh,
definitely.
There'll
be more books.
Okay,
you know, my master's is in creative writing, screenwriting, so I'm anticipating people to see. I want to see my life story played out on the big screen. So eventually,
who would play
you? Know,
that's a great question. Who would play? Yeah. Ask him again.
Who would play me?
Yes, who would play you?
Maybe I would play the adult me. I don't know. I don't know. Who do I look like? I keep getting different people. Somebody told me that I look like Will Smith the other day, and I looked at them, and they had two heads. Will Smith is not even dreaded. I don't even know what they're
dreading.
Well, you can always do
that. I'm going with Terrence Howard. I think Terrence Howard could pull it off.
You think Terrence Howard?
Or Michael Haley.
I don't know if Terrence would do it. I don't know.
You got to remember, baby, to come in there.
These people that you're naming are older than me, so I don't know how they would play me. If anything, I would play myself. You know, I always wanted to be an actor once upon a time.
you can do this because, you know, there's a filter on TikTok that actually, like, they'll show you, like, what celebrity that you look like. Maybe that'll help you. So that way it's like when you go on TikTok and you can do the filter, you'd be like, oh, okay, maybe I could.
And listen, I'm a little nervous for that because I've seen something that went viral and somebody did that same filter and they told him that he looks like Little Bill, the cartoon version. So I don't know if I'm like Little Bill.
Oh, wow. You know what? I wonder if I did it when I get that same meme that you put up on social media of me. You remember that one?
Oh, the meme where you look like the guy. Listen, just don't wear that wig anymore. Or that outfit, I'm sure. It just won't pop up. I had to meme that. I don't know if anybody ever seen that episode of Scared Straight where they went to the prison and the guy was there. He was like, I've been looking for you because I was waiting for you at the door.
Yeah.
And if you know what I'm talking about, you know that wig that he had on.
My hair was pulled back in a ponytail, first of all.
No, you had that same damn wig on. Don't wear that wig.
No, it was
more.
The same thing. It was a similar bang. Why did I even bring that up? Anyways.
Don't wear that wig no more, please.
Listen. I had a job to do that day, and I did.
Listen, I've stepped out of my house looking crazy, too. So I get it. Just don't do that shit no more. I won't. Yes, yes, that's how I get over like certain things too. I meme and I joke, and that's like kind of the wrong thing to do too, because sometimes I'll make jokes on people to make myself feel better. And that's another thing that I've evolved from. Like, you don't have to hurt other people because you're hurt. You gotta get help with your pain.
Right.
And that's something that people don't do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you go around and you hurt people because you don't know how to process your own hurt.
And that's just deep. Hurt people hurt people.
They do. Hurt people shouldn't enter into relationships with other people as well. Which is why I've been single for 4 years, because I haven't figured out how to deal with that hurt.
Oh, don't start talking about relationships.
Oh, we're going to get to your book that's coming out, Married to a Single Nigga, very shortly.
Well.
We'll get to that.
Get into it?
Everybody is going through hurt, and I think that's the main reason of why I said enough is enough, and it's time for me to share my story, because there are people that's out there that's been through something.
See, I don't
maybe
know.
Not everything.
That,
not
wasn't, that wasn't my angle with my book. It wasn't, and it's still not. I'm going to be honest. It's not meant to help anyone. I don't know how to help anyone through what I've experienced, because I'm still trying to figure out how to help my damn self.
Well, I mean, life like that is always going to be a learning process. You got to take the same thing that you told me. You don't know who your book's going to help. Just tell your story. So you don't go into it looking at it with the intentions of, I don't know who this is going to help. I don't care if it helps anybody. You don't know who it's going to help. The same thing with me. And this is why I buckled down to finish the book, because I don't know who it's going to help. You know, another thing that might help other people as well, too. I went to Harvey Milk High School. It's an alternative school for LGBT kids. And I went the very first year and went public. It became a New York City public school. So we had people outside with posters and yelling on bullhorns, saying that we were going to die of AIDS, God hates fags, all kinds of stuff. I don't know what kind of Christian people is that and what kind of God they believe in, because the God I believe in loves everybody, good, bad, and indifferent. He's the only one that can judge me.
I agree.
So, I mean, you know, for the people in the back.
That's another chapter in the book. That's a whole other chapter in the book.
There you go. One thing I can definitely say, and I'll definitely piggyback off of your point, is how you say you never know who it's going to help. It's like, I think of it like this. You know how, like, when you're looking for something, like when you're actually looking for something and you never find it, but then it's like when you don't think about it, all of a sudden it just pops up. So, like, if you're trying to find your car keys, you're looking everywhere. You're like, oh, man, where are these, you just can't find them because you're, like, actually trying to find them. And then one day you just be, like, sitting back, and next thing you know, you just happen to just look, and you'd be like, oh, that's why I left my keys. They dropped underneath the chair. I ain't even know that. And you just sat there. You ain't do nothing. So it's the same thing when you're writing a book or if you're telling a story. In my case, when I DJ, you know, I never know, you know, who may be listening. You know, just because, again, I'll take another song reference. Last night, a DJ saved my life. You never know whose life you could be saving. You know, because like you said, you write the book because you want to put that story out there. And it's like, hopefully it helps somebody, but I just want to make sure I get my story out. And next thing you know, you might get emails and text messages. Be like, you know, tell somebody, like, you just don't know. You just don't know how this book helped me. Or you just don't know, like, how this book kept me from doing something serious. You know, you may get that. Just like this show. It's like somebody is probably going through the exact same thing that you're talking about, and they just didn't know where to go. They hear this show, and they're like, you're speaking to me. You're speaking to me. You're talking me off of a ledge. You're talking me from possibly taking a knife and putting it towards my wrist. You just never know. So sometimes you just have to write the book and just put it out there. Now, I do have a bit of a silly question, though, because it just popped in my head. And knowing
no question
that,
is too silly as that.
Because I'm actually thinking of, because I know your prowess with the beverages and the liqueurs. And I must ask this question, though. What would be the drink of choice? What would be the drink of choice to reading your book? That's what I was doing. Like, what drink should I go for? Like, I'm
fine wine.
Yeah, you know,
so
like I'm opening to
I'll
the
give
front.
Y'all one of
yeah.
I'll give y'all one of my favorites. Douce and Bailey's or Hennessy and Bailey's. Either one of the two cognacs. I go with the Douce because it's a little smoother. Hennessy has gotten me into trouble. We won't talk about that. Maybe that'll be the evolution part three. Okay. But yes, I love me some. I actually had some on Friday. I had Hennessy and Bailey's, and I was sitting at work, and I was at work to talk to the manager. I wasn't on the clock. After a few Hennessy and Bailey's, she decided that she asked me to clock in to wait tables, and I'm like, sis, no. I am drunk, and I do not want to wait on tables. But yeah, you know, some people just don't make the best decisions. But yeah, you know, and definitely I would go with Douce and Bailey's.
Okay.
Or you can dish it up either way. But I mean, just keep in mind, folks, to drink responsibly. Those are two liquors together.
Right.
There's no mixer in between. You're drinking two straight liquors together. So drink responsibly. Don't get in the car. Don't drive anywhere. Don't call people in phone books that you don't want to talk to anymore. As a matter of fact, delete those damn numbers out of your phone.
I'm texting.
Okay.
I'm infinite.
Because that will do it to you. And if I ever make you a jar of Coquito, same thing applies. Delete those people out of your phone book because, you know, you'll get in your feelings real quick after a couple of sips of my Coquito. So. But yes, that would be my drink of choice. If you can muster the stomach bone. I know some people don't like the Baileys because it reminds them of the yolk or whatever. So, but yes, I guess juice would be the drink of choice. However you think.
Okay.
I like it with Bailey.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I'm actually going to direct that question to you
I'm
as well, Ms. Nasmanico. Yeah.
She need a.
Oh wow.
just putting it out there, you know.
I'm a gin drinker. I'm my granddaddy's grandchild. I'm good with a nice Tanqueray, a little Seagram's cheap gin, nothing expensive. I'm good like that. But I would say this new wine that I tried recently is called Dolce by Ménage à Trois. And it is everything you want in a bottle. Like, it tastes as seductive and alluring as the name. As a matter of fact, I think I have a bottle I'm going to knock off tonight.
Hey, there you go.
Now you tell me about the bottle, you know, I could have just came to Philly and we could have just sipped on that together, but okay.
Oh, but I couldn't come to New York tonight and get my ice cream. I couldn't come to New York to get my ice cream, but you can come out here and get a drink.
Yes.
This is horrible.
Yes.
We're going to miss each other on the train. I'm going to be in New York getting ice cream, and you're going to be in my kitchen pouring drinks.
Listen, I'm sure somebody will answer the door for me. Maybe it's the little one will answer the door for me. Like, hey, my mommy just went, she left the house. Well, I'm here. I don't know how she's going to get into my house, but I know how I'm getting in here.
I'll be sitting on your steps. I'll be right on the stoop eating my ice cream, waiting, talking to the neighbors, and whispering to
there
the dog under the door.
The dog
and there you go. And you have the evolution of Andre Dwayne in your
hand. A two-time for a parent, by the way, shout out to my best friend Shannon for making me a second time father. You know, I got a cat on Father's Day this year. So,
okay.
I love animals.
Okay.
And, you know, I would rather, and you know what, and I'm going to stop right there. So I was going to say, I would rather you give me your animal than to put it in into a kill shelter or give it away to somebody that's not going to take care of it. Just let me know,
yeah,
and I'll find your
apartment
animal.
And it's going to look
somewhere.
Like that, you know, at East Ventura.
No, that's what I'm getting to. let me know, and I will find somewhere safe for your animal to live. Because at this point, I'm about ready to put the cat and the dog in boot camp so I can get some goddamn sleep. Okay? They work in shifts. The Islamic is the dynamic duo.
I love it.
And Butthead, they are a hot mess in here, okay? The cat is shady. 3 a.m. is his hour. He wants to knock everything over from things on the bookshelf to pots, pans, and dishes in the kitchen.
Wow.
And then my favorite part of the night is when he decides to kick the dog out of his bed. Yeah, these two are something else. I gotta post a picture of them two together on my Instagram. I just can't get them to sit down and take a picture together. It's just like, you know, it's always playtime with them. It's always playtime in this house. I'm pretty sure you heard the dog barking a minute ago. He was barking at the cat because the cat likes to chase them. They like to play hide and seek, and yeah, they're throwing at each other now.
They're having fun. That's all. They're having fun. They're having fun.
Yeah, they better go to bed.
But, yeah.
They better go to bed because Gabby's going to
But I would like to ask you, though, like, as far as the book goes, like, what – let me see. What would be my question for this? So, for the – well, I'll say like this. When can we expect it? That's the question I want to know. When can we expect it to be on the show?
Fall of this year. I have a release date, but, you know, when you guys know, you'll know. But it's definitely coming out
right.
this year. And you're going to release date really soon. I'm thinking about releasing the cover of the book tonight.
Okay.
Pikachu. He's a dog. Yeah. Pikachu and Rusty. Those are my baby's names. But,
okay.
It's definitely coming out this fall. I have the release date in mind. I just want to make sure all of, like, the logistical things are correct, which so far so good. So, but definitely expect the book this fall. But I think I'm going to drop the cover on you guys tonight. I'll post it on my Instagram.
We'll be waiting on it.
Listen,
as a matter of
fact. Give me something. I'm like, give me more.
I'm going to post the cover on my Instagram. So expect that. Very shortly. Probably as soon as I wrap up over here, I'll drop that cover on IG for you guys. IG, Facebook, and Twitter. And I think I have TikTok, too. So, yeah, social media is so hard to keep up with when you manage
Well, my thing is, while you're mentioning, why not give everybody your handle? Where can they find you?
Yes.
You can find me
every single social media platform under I Am Andre Duane. That is IAMANDRE. DWAYNE. On Facebook, it is I Am Andre Duane Writer. But on Instagram, what's the other one? Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, I am Andre Duane. Snapchat, too. I think Snapchat is my name as well. I barely post on Snapchat. Once in a while, I'll post on Snapchat. But, you know, Twitter and IG is enough to keep up with.
Right. Yeah, I know. Oh, and thank you for the follow, by the way, on TikTok, because I did see your name pop up. So I'm like, now we are following each other. I'm happy about that.
I have to follow you. Let me join the follow crowd.
Of course.
Yes,
but as you're mentioning that, as a matter of fact, please mention yours, Ms. Najma Nico. Let them everybody know where they can find you.
I have too many different handles. I swear it's like I got different personalities, but I don't.
I was going to say that.
I don't know what I really... That's just Gemini in me, and I own every 27 person, every 27 individual that lives inside of me. We own us, like, we are we, and that is okay. But on
I was
going to
say that. You
Instagram,
suffer from multiple personality disorder, also known as Gemini. I'm not going to shit on Gemini too much, because that's my rising sign.
It's a multiple personality blessing. I own it. I love it. I love us. We are we. But on Instagram, I am first name Dom, first_name_Dom. On TikTok and everything else, I am Anajma Nico Jones. That's ANAJMANIKKO Jones. Keep up with me. And my business page as well is sagenhood_. I'm into spirituality and the personal development of inner self. So I hope I can get a follow, and I definitely follow everyone back because I love people.
All right. There it is. There it is. All right. All right. Anything else to add, Andre?
No. Nothing at all. Just keep an eye out on my social media. Tonight I will definitely post the cover of the book tonight. Just look out for that in the fall. You know, pre-sale should be coming up very soon as well. So just pay attention to my social media.
Another thing, of course.
There's a lot of people waiting for this, which is why I don't want to give the release date just yet. But just know it will be this fall.
All right.
Bring it as a surprise on certain people. There again, Nico, what'd you say?
No, I said I got my Snuggie ready. You said Bailey's and Douce. I'm going to warm it up a little bit, add a little hot chocolate to it. I'm sitting going from cover to cover. I am ready. Okay?
Okay.
I know it's a nice story, but I can only imagine, like, it's deep, it's juicy, it's dark, it's provocative, it's drama, it's messy.
You know what I've told you. I still haven't told you everything. I still haven't said everything about the book on
the
air
as
well.
I got to leave at least three times during this interview. I have nothing to say. And I'm mouth almighty. I got something to say on everything. You took my breath away. I couldn't say nothing.
Well, I hope I take
it's
everybody.
So much I don't
well,
know.
I hope you get your breath back. If I take your breath away while I read this book, I don't want to take it away and you don't get it back because I don't want to be responsible for that.
Oh, no. See, I'm too petty and I'm too nosy. If it does go away, it's going to come right back because I'm going to need enough air to finish it. I ain't going nowhere until it's done.
I need it to come back because I don't know a human alive that can't go without breath for too long. So I'm going to need it to come back.
You know. I don't hold my breath for a very long time.
Well, I guess that's a great way to save ourselves for another episode of Andre to Ask Andre DeWayne. I want to thank you both, especially Andre DeWayne, for your talk show. Again, very informative. We'll definitely be looking out for the book, as you say, this fall. And thank you as well, Ms. Najma and Nicole, for bringing your expertise, for being part of this. So it's been very informative and fun. It's actually been fun.
It's definitely been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Anytime. Yes.
And I appreciate you as well as FX, you know. I'm still thinking about that damn intro now. I gotta figure out how. We're going to have the roles reversed one day. If it's not on my show, it may be on a roundtable discussion, and I'm going to introduce you, okay?
Okay.
I got to live up to that one, yeah. I mean, I'm still processing the last introduction from episode one. Now episode two, I'm taking notes at that because I got you. I got your number.
All right. That's a bet. That's the bet, because that's the thing, because as you already know, with Ask Andre DeWayne, we got many more episodes for you, because it's going to be a lot more evolution going on. Ain't that right, brother?
Evolution from now until the good Lord calls me home. Everybody is evolving. I hope everybody's evolving, but I will be evolving forever. I love learning new things. I love trying to grow. I love growing. I love growth. It's all about growth, and you can't do the same thing you did yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, everything should be a learning lesson. Everything should be a growing moment. You should be evolving from something. You know, it's like one of my favorite insects is the butterfly. I got to give the butterfly number two only because ladybugs remind me of my mother. And, you know, ladybugs are also good luck. But my second favorite insect would be the butterfly because of the evolution process. And when you get my book,
it's actually
split into three parts, like the butterfly. You know, part one would be the cocoon, and part one would be the caterpillar, part two would be the cocoon, and then part three is the butterfly. The last chapter, and I will give you the name of the last chapter of the book. The last chapter of the book is the evolution of the butterfly. The emancipation of the butterfly.
Mm.
So,
mm.
I have unique chapters names. I'm not going to tell you how many chapters it is. There's a lot of chapters. This is a very meaty book, but I had a very meaty life. So it's not all sad news. There are some funny moments in there. There's going to be some what the fuck moments in there. It's going to be some really, you could really do that. And mainly like the story of my car catching on fire, like that. Let's just say, folks, pay attention to people that's changing the oil of your car. The last thing you need is for your car to burst into flames while you're driving home
drunk
on the highway. How did you not think that story was going into the book? That story is it's one of the funnier stories. I can laugh at that story now, but it definitely wasn't funny when it was happening. You know, don't drive drunk. Don't drive drunk. I didn't hit anything. There was no injuries or anything like that. It's just like one of those moments where it was just like,
why is
my car on fire? Why is my car on fire and I'm sitting in the middle of the West Side Highway? It was one of those moments.
My cup is empty.
But, yeah.
I can't do it. My cup is empty. I'm over here sucking on.
So we're not going to touch on that tonight. We're actually going to wrap this up. We're not going to touch on that. I gotta give the folks something to look forward to in the book. I just wanted to let everybody know that it's not all a sad story. There are some entertainable moments in the book, and that just happens to be one of them.
Yes, because I do believe there will be a part two. I'm thinking there will be a part two. I'm hoping. I'm thinking there will be.
Of the show?
I'm just going to.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think I'm going to put that out there in the ether.
The Evolution Part 2. Yeah, put that out there.
Yep,
there. The Evolution Part 2.
All right. Well, there it is. You heard it here. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Part 2 is coming to you, so please stay updated to being here on Spontaneous Radio Online, where we give you everything, and I do mean everything. Does he say everything? Yes, everything. All right, but again, I would like to thank Andre Dwayne for your show tonight, bro, as well as Najma. Nicole, thank you for joining us. We definitely and greatly appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. And definitely, like I said, just giving us all that we need, and we need to, you know, see what's going on in the book, because I'm definitely going to go out and read it, because I definitely got to especially read the one about the car. So that I got to read that part. But, yeah.
Again, that is in part 3 of the book, okay?
The part 3,
so
okay.
You got a lot
all
of
right.
reading to do before you get to that story.
All right. Sounds good to me. That's what I will be doing, especially as everybody else. So as soon as you get that update, as soon as you know the date, we'll definitely push that out there so that way everybody can go clamoring for the book. You know what I'm saying?
I am ready.
To my social media tonight. I will be dropping the book cover tonight. So,
all right.
Look out for
Sounds
that.
Good. All right. Sounds good. But again, I want to thank you all for listening in on this episode of Ask Andre Dwayne, The Evolution of Andre Dwayne. Again, that book is coming out. Looks like he said he's going to be putting it on his social media. The cover is coming out tonight, I do believe. That's what I heard. So the cover is coming.
Yes.
So that way you'll...
The cover's coming tonight, and the actual book is dropping this fall.
Dropping this fall. All right. There it is. And before we go, two mentions really quick. The first one is we want to make sure that we are letting you know that July 25th, we do have Mr. Al Powell. His show will be popping up July 25th, so he would definitely be bringing his PLM Philly Sound. So stay updated for that show that is coming back. Coming back July 25th. So just wanted to let you know that we right here in the same time, same place, Spontaneous Radio Online, letting you know on Sunday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And, of course, we definitely have to end our show. So my callers and everybody, please stay on in, because there's one thing we definitely must end on. We must end on this one track that, you know, pretty much end on a pretty good note. All right, but like I said, we're going to end on this track by Frederick Thomas, better known as Fred the Godson. All right, he broke out in 2010 with his mixtape, Armageddon, echoing earlier eras of New York rap. So as you know, this was a New York family right here. All this, you know, for real for me by like 4 hours, so, you know. All right, but the Bronx-based rapper and fixture of hip-hop radio died April 23rd of 2020 of COVID-19 complications. These tracks, actually two tracks, right there all in one. These two tracks are off of his Gordo mixtape back in 2017 that you can find out or find on Dat Piff, that's D-A-T-P-I-F-F. That is DATPIFF.com. All right, so here it is, Intro and Let It Cook by Fred the Godson. And always remember, peace and love each other, y'all. Be safe out there.
All right.
What if I told you one of the greatest rappers, bar for bar, is from 156 Fox BX Blocks? Would you believe me? Or you think I'm fucking, you think I'm pulling chain, huh? You wouldn't believe me, huh? You think I'm fucking lying, huh? But check out my boy Goldo, kid. Stay fucking tuned.
I'm just gonna let it play. I'm gonna let you do you for a couple. This hard.
We're in the streets. We're doing it for charity. If you got it for the streets, you probably got it for me, kid.
That's far from the rest. When your balls are the best, that's when you